T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, eh?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like a carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Sal Capaccio, his appearance brought to you by New York's only outlaw liquor. When it's time to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. And another part of that storyline for Levi, if it's Montreal, he grew up a huge Canadiens fan.
That's right.
Carey Price was his idol growing up in goal. So that would be a pretty cool part of the storyline if he started that game against the Canadiens.
Yeah, maybe it ends up being the perfect start for him on Monday at KeyBank Center. Sal, we got Bills signings, and I think I've said it this way: if you're one of the fans that had been really in on the Bills adding to their offense and adding weapons to this point, while there aren't any monster moves, they've addressed offensive line, they've addressed running back, they've addressed receiver in two different moves. It's four pieces to kind of help them upgrade on offense, and I think for the most part, people like what they've done.
Yeah, I think they're getting pretty good reviews around the league. I know fans oftentimes want the bigger name, the splash player, spend a lot of money, and that's fine. I mean, if you can, you can. You go out and you do that. The Bills aren't able to really take that approach given their salary cap constraints, so they found areas where they think they can improve in different spots. And if you look at what they've done so far, I actually, while you guys were talking to Don Granato, I tweeted out an in and out chart. This is since free agency began, the players the Bills have brought in and the players have departed. Five on each column. What's interesting to me is all five in the in column play offense. The Bills have not added one single body to the defense other than their own guys. They have not brought in anybody from outside the organization on defense, but they have on offense. And I would say, obviously, other than Tremaine Edmonds, that's a big loss in the middle of your defense. If you look down that list of in, other than, you know, backup quarterback Kyle Allen, not going to count him, there's upgrades there. There's upgrades around. Connor McGovern is a starting offensive lineman. He's going to start in place of Roger Saffold. And considering the way Saffold played last year, we could definitely say that's an upgrade. Damian Harris over Devin Singletary. That's a flavor, like if that's what you want. But I think given the construction of the room and knowing that James Cook is going to be, you know, the number one guy, and your backup now is both Nyheim Hines, obviously, and Damian Harris. I think if you want to say, you know, if Devin Singletary to me was underrated and played pretty well for this team, but I think you could say that's an upgrade or at least it's a wash. And then at wide receiver, out is Isaiah McKenzie, in are Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. I don't know how you can't think that those two over Isaiah McKenzie are not an upgrade for the offense.
Let's start with Sherfield. I mean, Joe suggested he could be the Kumerow replacement if the Bills ever wanted to play special teams, which they might. He indicated he does expect to be a part of the offense. You know, Sal, for me, the thing about Sherfield, I like the special teams angle of it at least. You know, McKenzie was smallish and, well, definitely small. And Deontay Hardy, the reviews of that were, well, he's kind of small. Sherfield is 6'1", and if you play special teams, you're not afraid to dole out a hit or two or be a little bit tough to play against. So, and there are a couple, you know, highlights of his contact balance. He's not a smaller receiver. He gives them some pretty good versatility, has played on the outside, played on the inside, and, you know, he's just looking for an opportunity to kind of prove himself. He even tweeted, always bet on yourself. So it looks to me like a, you know, low-level depth receiver move that has the potential to pop a little bit, much like Deontay Hardy.
I like Joe's thought there about Jay Kumerow. I think that what you could say is he's Jake Kumerow's replacement for special teams, but with a better upside on offense, right?
Yeah.
That he can play. And he's not as tall as Jake, but like you said, he's not a real small guy. He's bigger than Stephon Diggs, taller at least. He's 6'1", about 215. And it's not just that he can, you know, absorb contact. He's considered a really good blocker, guys. He's actually considered a guy that can kind of line up like a tight end, or if you're not going to put your hand to the ground, right? Not going to be a 3-point stance, but he can actually kind of seal off the edge when you want to put him on the outside a little bit and put him in that position. So I think this is a guy they're getting kind of the whole package of a wide receiver, although not necessarily the top end talent of what you'd normally, you know, look at in that regard. But it is interesting to me that he kind of checks all those boxes. He's a little bit bigger. He's not the smaller guy they've been bringing in that they seem to really have a lot of on the roster. And he's a really good blocker as well. Gabe Davis is known as a really good blocker. Maybe this also, by the way, let's think about it these terms. Maybe this also takes a little more off Gabe's plate to be that guy. You know, how many times do we look at the end of a game and Stephon Diggs was on the field for 70% and there's Gabe Davis at 95%. And everyone's like, I can't believe Gabe Davis plays so much. Why is he always on the field so much? Well, he's a really good blocker. He does all those things. Maybe this is a way to take a little bit off that plate from Gabe so he can concentrate and be a little bit more effective in the passing game and not have to be on the field for all those run plays as well. But Sherfield's going to play special teams. He's not a return man. He's going to be a gunner. He can be a gunner, I should say. I don't know what his role will be, and he can play on all special teams units.
Yeah, PFF had him graded as one of the best run-blocking safeties in the last 4 years. So
Receivers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I like that, that you're laying it out, Sal, of like Davis, you know, maybe there can be games now where he plays 80% of the snaps instead of 98%, because now they've got this guy that can go out and kind of fill part of his role. And is it right to say with Hardy and Sherfield, there's more of a commitment to guys that are more versatile at the receiver position? At this point last year, Sal, it was Diggs, Davis, and a lot of slot guys. And now I feel like even Shakir, who I think is the only one on the team that plays a higher percentage in the slot than outside, I feel like pretty much their entire receiving group are filled with guys that can line up anywhere on the field.
Yeah, was I a year early maybe in talking too much about positionless football and like just counting guys as weapons? Maybe. I still believe that's what they were aiming for last year, but I just don't think they ever got around to it the way they wanted to. But that was why they tried to and agreed to a deal with J.D. McKissic. That's why they drafted James Cook. That's why they traded for Nyheim Hines. That's why they brought in O.J. Howard. It didn't work out. Some of these things didn't work out, but I think the vision of this team now has been, under Ken Dorsey especially, since he took over a little over a year ago, I think the vision of this team, this offense, has been to really have guys who can do a lot of different things, and we can kind of strip away, not necessarily, I mean, of course, we know Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy are wide receivers, but like you said, slot receiver, outside receiver, strip that away. Even guys who can play necessarily tight end or running back, they're pass catchers, they're weapons. Guy who can block, right? Two guys who can block now. You can put these guys on the field and do multiple things. I remember specifically Ken Dorsey, really when he came in, one of his first press conferences to the media, talking about creating matchups. You know, the Bills' ultimate goal is they want to dictate what the defense has to do to them. Always remember that, which is like, when fans are watching a game, they see somebody on a sidelines hold up these numbers, right? 12, 22. That's the personnel. That's telling the defense what personnel, you know, the team is in. They respond to that. The Bills want to force teams to respond to personnel they're in and then take advantage of that and say, yep, even though we're in 12 personnel, you know, we're going to use those two tight ends as wide receivers because you're going to go heavier now. That's really, I think, what the ultimate goal has been. And it seems like that's what's happening here with guys who can play all different ways and around different spots of the offense.
Okay, Sal, so how does Damian Harris fit in for all that? You have been saying, and then Brandon Bean flat out said, they're looking to add at running back and to get a downhill guy. Is Harris, I mean, he's bigger than what they have. He's not exactly, you know, just some sort of plow. He's got some speed as well, as Bills fans can attest. So how do you feel about the Harris signing?
Well, I like Damian Harris as a runner. My concern is he's been injured. He had some hamstring injuries last year, a couple years ago, not 21, I think 19. I'm sorry, 20. He also had some injuries as well. So he's got to stay healthy, but you're not counting on him to, you know, be on the field a ton necessarily and carry the ball a ton. I think this might be maybe a goal line back as well. He had 15 touchdowns a couple of years ago. I think a lot of them were from more in close. Yes, he is a physical style running back. He's a little bit more downhill. He's not John Riggins, right? I mean, that's not what you're getting here. This is not this super thick big guy that's just going to pound at you in between the tackles, but I think he gives them a little bit more flexibility as far as when you get in those situations, you can have a guy like that. And he doesn't have to play just short yardage, by the way. Like, that's not necessarily what he did in New England. We're going to talk with Evan Lazar on our program, by the way, about him a little bit and what his role can be. So I think more than anything, I think what you have to look at here is how is the room constructed? How is the running back room constructed? You know, Brandon Bean said, we have a couple guys that are 200 pounds, you know, talking about Cook and Nyheim Hines. They'd like to get a little bit bigger. He's not a ton bigger, but he is, what, 215 or so, 210 to 215. So they added some muscle. They added some thickness there. But it's not like necessarily just one for one. It's not Singletary for Harris because Harris isn't going to have the same role as Singletary. James Cook is going to have more of the role of Singletary. And then Harris falls in as more of a option in different situations. So I like the signing. I like the player. And by the way, it's always good when you can take a good player off a division rival as well, right? And weaken them a little bit.
Are you ready to declare Bijan Robinson talk dead? Because Mamel Kiper has it today.
Can't believe it.
Sal, we made the mistake of finally feeling like the running back conversation was toast, but it's not toast.
Okay, here's what I feel like, and I don't know this. I feel like Mel had been working on his mock. He was going to do it, and he had it, and then the Bills signed Harris, so he just kept him there, and he just threw in, hey, they also signed Damian Harris, right?
Yeah, right.
Maybe he just didn't want to go redo his mock. I wonder if he sat down and redid it all over again, if he would still keep him there. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but it just feels like that's the kind of thing. It happens in the morning. Harris, you know, agreed last night, not even official signing yet, but I can confirm he did agree, and they're going to sign him. So maybe that's the case. Now, to your overall question and point, I don't think we'll ever get away from it. I don't think we'll ever get away from it. It's just crazy to me that more people keep doing this. It's just every single year, no matter where we are leading up to the draft, whether it's Travis Etienne or Breece Hall, doesn't matter. So I just can't see it. I've never seen it. I just don't think the Bills have a philosophy of doing it that way. I don't think that their philosophy is to take a running back with that kind of asset. They're not into pay running backs. Look at the guys they have. They used a second round pick on James Cook. They used two third round picks on guys before that. So you could say those are pretty good assets, and I agree with that. I still think they're not the top level first round, and they're also not guys they're going to eventually pay and use to say, like, we got to pay these guys, like kind of like a Saquon Barkley is in New York. You spend a first round pick, and after 5 years, you have to pay him as well. It just doesn't seem like the Bills' philosophy.
It will, I mean, Mel Kiper withstanding. It should, though, Sal, quiet the noise, I would think, all season, right? Because Harris, they had drafted a day three guy, like we had been talking about a little bit in the past days. They drafted a day three guy, you know, Pacheco type, you know, physical, but in the fifth round or later, something like that. Then all year, any star running back that becomes available, I think you would still have seen the Bills' name mentioned. Whereas now, like Damian Harris, I mean, he rates enough in the league because of that season he had 2 years ago and the starting experience in New England. Like, I think Harris is enough of a name that even the pundits that want to put running backs on different teams when they become available, I feel like Harris is a big enough name to kind of quiet all of that.
Yeah, it probably will. As we go on, you'll probably get less and less like that. What I do think is interesting, what Mel wrote at the very end, the Bills are in a position that they can have a luxury pick.
Yeah,
right?
Bills fans feel less like that than they have in a while.
Right. Isn't that funny? Like,
yeah,
Bills fans are like, no, they still have holes. And here's, you know, Mel Kiper going, they can have a luxury pick. I think it also speaks to the roster is still really good, guys, right? Yeah. Like, the roster is still really good. It's not perfect. No team is. You don't have all pros at every position. Everybody would love that. They did lose a middle linebacker. What's going to happen there? There are question marks. Let's go back to what I said to start the segment, which is, if you look at their in and out, five offensive players in, zero defense. I think, all right, I'm going to declare right here,
yep.
March 21, you guys, Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, I'm just throwing it out there. I think we all have to start having a mindset that defense is very much starting to become much more in play in the early part of the draft. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to take a linebacker round one. I don't know that. Could still be a receiver. I still think tight end is in play. But it feels like to me that their philosophy and approach this offseason has been, let's add on offense. We got to add there. We got to plug some holes there. We're going to get younger through free agency and then get younger and add on defense through the draft. That's what it feels like to me.
I've been trying to prep Joe to get ready for the defensive end.
I don't want to hear it.
What about defensive tackle?
aren't they more set at defensive tackle than they are defensive end?
No, I don't think so at all. It depends on what you think of Von Miller, by the way, and I think Greg Rousseau is really becoming a nice player. I think they have a guy, A.J. Epenesa is not, who knows,
well,
right?
So but, who do they Boogie, have under contract? They just spent,
wait, Boogie Basham, and look long-term. Ed Oliver, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with him, but a year from now, I don't think Ed Oliver's on this team.
Yeah, I just mean for this year, when you say what you think of Basham and Epenesa, I think non-factors, and the Bills
right.
would be drafting, basically treat it like they treated... I mean, Rousseau is there, of course. Vaughn, I don't know when he's going to be healthy, and I think they're going to want to start the season with two potential defensive ends that they can count on. So, tackle, you got Daquan Jones, Tim Settle, Ed Oliver. Okay, I could listen to it, Sal. I think linebacker and defensive front, right, defensive line. I'm with you. When you say that, without saying, I'm all bored and I love the idea, I think that this is a year where the draft will be about getting younger on defense.
They are aging out and losing players on defense a bit, right? And I say aging out, right? They're getting older. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, they're both in their early 30s now. Tremaine Edmonds leaves free agency. I mean, Matt Milano signs an extension. He's 28. I mean, he's there for a while, but these guys are getting a little bit older. Vaughn is obviously older and coming off the injury, like you said. Tre'Davious White's coming off the injury. I think that they're going to me, it just feels to me like maybe the direction is let's get younger and supplant and have the next wave of guys on defense and do that through the draft.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you this, Sal. Right now, and this will drive some draft conversation. Who would you think is more likely to sign an extension with this team, Ed Oliver or Gabe Davis?
Well, I think it's Davis myself.
Gabe Davis, 100%.
Yeah, I think. I don't know about you, Sal. I think Oliver is. I'm not even. It's not even on my radar as an extension candidate.
Well, at that point, then this is where I'm getting.
Listen,
to
Joe. Let me say this. I believe. This is just my belief on how they approach things. I believe both Gabe Davis and Tyler Bass could sign extensions before the season even starts. I'm not even talking about next year. I think they might do it before, like they did with Dawson Knox. The Bills typically do that with some guys, Reggie Gilliam, Dawson Knox. They try to get guys locked up, Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins, before the season going into their final year. I think those two guys is what I'm targeting, and I am not thinking at all about Ed Oliver for that.
Well, where I'm getting to on this, and to your theory about seeing them getting younger on defense and that kind of being the theme of the draft, and we know middle linebackers avoid... As someone that wants to see them pick receiver, I'm suddenly, in the last 3 minutes, very worried about defensive tackle because I think I have this right, Sal, because Daquan Jones has a void year after this year. They don't have a defensive tackle under contract past this season.
No, actually, let me see. I have a little chart
I did
here. So if I go to next year, I had this chart I put up, but that's correct. Now, that if I think about it, that is exactly right. The Bills have... basically nobody there under contract,
Tim Settle?
I think. Tim Settle reworked his deal.
He has a void year next year as well. I think they do not have a defensive tackle under contract for 2024.
Okay. Get ready.
That could be it, right?
Yes.
So here you go. Yep. So I have. Let's see. After this year, looking down the list, as far as D-line, Epenesa, Jones, Oliver, Settle. Yep, all of them will be free agents at the end of this year, unless any of them sign extensions. So there you go. Boogie Basham and Greg Rousseau the following year, but you can also exercise the fifth-year option on Greg Rousseau. So yes, I agree, and I'm just telling, I think we have to start at least thinking like that. What you just said, Joe, is right. To me, they have, and look what happened in the playoffs. They lost Daquan Jones, and how much did they get run on? I think you have to start thinking along those lines that could be in play.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Sal's on the way with the Extra Point Show. Evan Lazar, you said, who covers the Patriots. He'll be coming up during your show.
And Judy Batista. How about that? From NFL Network. So that's really cool. Judy, she's going to be out at the NFL owners meetings. Judy had a really good conversation yesterday with Andrew Siciliano about the AFC East and how close teams may be to the Bills or passing the Bills. So I reached out and said, hey, this is a good conversation. So she's going to join us at 10:30 today.
Owners meetings next week, and you're heading out to those as well.
I'll be out there, and we'll come to you live from there. It'll be early. I'll be at 5:30 Phoenix time. They do not do daylight savings time in Arizona. They're on mountain time.
Yes.
But since they don't move the clocks, it's 3 hours now.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
Okay, guys.
We're very late. We'll get a break in. We've got quick check in with Patriots and Dolphins to talk about Damian Harris and Trent Sherfield with Ben Volen at the top of the hour. And then 9:30. We're going to do Travis Wingfield, MiamiDolphins.com. So quick little check-ins on the two newest Bills for you next hour here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.